recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Kritut is Daf Yud Aleph. And it's brought to you right here, Ben Kamot Yerushalayim. We are holding at the Gemara, right up on top of the Daf there. Minalam Dehi Laki Vehu La Laki. So as we said in our Mishnah, we have a very unusual situation with the case of someone who sleeps with a Shivcha, who is Necharefet Le'ish. What exactly that means was a machloket at the end of the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva, as we changed the girsa, as we'll see today in the Gemara, and Rabbi Yishmael. But before we get to the detailed discussion of what she is, the first thing that the Mishnah had said was that this is the only place where the Torah distinguishes in the punishment between the male and the female partners in the relationship, so that the male is chayav a korban, or sham, and the female gets beat up with malchus, which certainly is going to give the feminists plenty to think about. It's a good thing they never got the kritut. Anyway, minolan dehi laki vehu lo laki. How do we know this? The Tana Rabbanan, let's look once again very carefully at that pasuk. This is a pasuk that we're going to have many rich diukim in all through the sugya. So let's just review the pasuk again. V'ish ki ishkav et isha shechvat zerach. V'ish ifcha necherefet le'ish. V'hevda lo nivdata uchufsha lo nitanla. So what do we say over here? That somehow or other she is Necherefet Le'ish, instead of saying married to a guy. Somehow or other it says double lotion. She's Chufsha Lo Nitanla is sort of an option. Oh, Chufsha Lo Nitanla. But Hevda Lo Nivdata may mean the same thing. She was Padui, she wasn't Padui. Bikoretiye. What in the world is Bikoretiye supposed to mean? An investigation. Lo yumtu, they shall not die, ki lo chupasha. Lots of interesting words here. So the word Bikoret is what we're going to focus on now. She doesn't get malchus, he doesn't get malchus, but she does. The Tana Rabbanan. Bikoretiye. I mean, malamit shihiloka. Bikoret teaches us that there's malchus, and we're going to see why we would think that in a minute. Talmud lomar tihiye, and we're going to see why that is a reference to her by our analysis of Kriya, then we'll see why tihiye makes sense. And this is Yochol, the Shehem lokin Talmud tihiye, he loka hu eno loka. Now, how do you get the idea that the word Bikoret has anything to do with Malkot? Inayin, the Hadain quote Bikoret, unquote, is a Lishna of Malkutu. Omer Yitz, the way to learn Bikoret is she tiye, she shall be Bikaroi. She shall be in a position of listening to people make their announcements. Kidatanya. Gadol Hadayanim Makre. The greater of the Dayanim reads the Pasik Vifla Shemet Makotecha, which is what we do every time we give Malkot. So Bikoret, I mean, she's going to have to listen to this while they're bringing the whip down on her. And that is therefore Tiyet, Tiyet, she shall be Bikriya. That's why it's a reference to her. Sheni Moneh, the second Dayan of the Beit Din, counts the number of Malkiot. And the Shlishi is the one who says each time Hakeyu. Ravashi Omer, that's not what it means. Bikuratiya means make sure that she goes to the doctor. I mean, Bikuratil Rofe. Because the din is, you can't give Malkut until there's a medical examination. So, Bikuratiya, it's not, Enon Dinot Ola Makota Ruin Lishtalesh, it's got to be Malkot that can be divided by three. Tana Rabbana, Bizmansha Isha Loka, if the woman is indeed Chayevet, let's say she's not a katana, or she's not sleeping, she wasn't forced, whatever the case would be. So if she's chayevet, she gets malkot, then and only then does the ish may be korban. But if for some reason the isha is not loka, then the ish does not may be korban. Minolan, how do we know that his chayev a korban is dependent on her chayev in malkot? Amar Rava dechtiv ish ki ishkav et isha shechvat zera v'ish ivcha nechrefet v'ish v'avdalo nivdata o chufsha lo nitan la. Wait a minute. Mikve. We started off talking about the Ish, right? That's what it says. It says, Ish ki yishkav et isha. So, adakar b'ishka mishloikra. So, why doesn't it go first, before we get to this bikuret, what should be the next word? Vehevi Hashem ola Hashem. Then, oh yes, what about her? Bikuret tiyeh. Instead, all of a sudden, we stop in the middle of the pasuk. If a man do this, oh, by the way, what she does, huh? She say, if a man does this, he brings an Hashem. And she gets Malkus. Instead it says, if a man does this, well, she gets Malkus. So why is that? Must be to tell me, if she gets Malkus, then he brings Hashem al Hashem. So the Ikhtov, Bikoret Tiyeh, only Labasov. Amai Katav Rachmana, first Beresha, Bikoret Tiyeh, and only afterwards? It says, Ve'viyat Hashemo. Labasov Katav, Ve'viyat Hashemo, must be the Rachika Omar. In Bikoret Tiyeh, meaning he, then Ve'viyat Hashemo, who? That's the point. But im lo tiyeh bikoret, if there is no bikoret, then there is no lo yaviru et hashamo. And that's what it's saying.
In other words, it's always the woman's fault.
Well, of course,
we knew that.
Ask the Gemara, wait, how do we know that she doesn't get both Malkus and a Korban? What does it say? I mean, it says he doesn't get Malkus. But where does it say she doesn't bring the car? I mean, are we going to let her get away with murder and only beat her up? So, Ella asked the Gemara, Emahu miatekra, but he, tilaki, and also teite korban. Why doesn't she have to do both? Because it says, Vediat ashamo. So it's ashamo, it should be a vi asham. Therefore, it's coming to tell me it's his and only his asham. Therefore, in a case where bikuret yeh, then and only then he veviat Hashem al Hashem. But if it's not bikuret yeh, then there's no evil Hashem. And when there is evil Hashem, it's only Hashemo that is evil Hashem. So we now have it very clear. His chiyuv is dependent on her chiyuv, but her chiyuv, first of all, is not dependent on his chiyuv, as we're going to see. And furthermore, there is never a sharing of the chiyuv. He never gets malkut, she never brings the korban. Is irrelevant here to him. It's relevant only to her. So if she was a shogega, she wouldn't get malchus, but then he wouldn't bring a korban either. Right? Okay. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, you should know that you're only chayev on a non-virgin. So eno chayav ela shivcha bu'ula bilvad. But if she is still a virgin, then there is no din of shivcha harufa. Shenema vi shivcha necherefet. Necherefet means she's been used, changed. Leish. Where do we see that? My mashmat, I necherefet lishna de shinuyeu. What makes you think that the word necherefet means changed? Ah, you see, because what it says is vatishtach alav charifot. Charifot means the woman took the ground up chitim, which have been changed now, and put it on top of them so that it would be enough to hide them, or even better is this beautiful pasuk in Mishlei. Im tichtosh et ha'avil b'machtesh b'toch harifot. This is amazing. You can take the rotten no-goodnik, put him into the grinder, together with the harifot that you were grinding up with the chitim, and you figured, okay, that should change him enough. I mean, it changes the chitim. If we grind the guy up, we probably change him too. No. That lousy no good nick never changes. The chitim change, but these kind of people never change. So you can put him in there with a mortar and a pestle, ba'ali, and nothing is going to happen. Lo tasur me alavi valto, continues the pasuk. He'll never change. So from here you see the lashon of harifot, where harifot is basically change. We find in Ezra, it says, Vayitnu yadam lo tzineshehem, va'ashemim. They all brought a korban hashem, but this was when they had all married non-Jewish women. And everybody, they come together and they all agree, they're getting rid of their wives, and they bring their korban asham el tzon al hashmatam. What in the world were they doing bringing an el tzon? Rav Chisda teaches us that all those people that had come with Ezra, and they found there being married to non-Jewish women, had basically brought their women along with them, so to speak. They were all shifchot harufot that they were sleeping with, and it was a simple solution. And because of that, they needed to bring a korban asham.
All the non-Jewish women were...
Well, they were obviously local non-Jewish women. That's not what it's referring to. Only.
Brought them from Bodo?
Well, whatever. Whatever the case is. But that's always the easy solution. You buy one. It's still going on here in Israel today, right? There's major trade. Ezoi shivcha harufa tanarabana. Let's take a look at the details of the machloket between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Eliezer here in the Braita. So, we darshan first this pasuk. We pointed out that the pasuk contains a lot of strange variations. Vehevda, yes? Lo, not. Lo nivdata. Chufsha lo nitana, which seems to be repeating the same thing. So, we're going to darshan this now. Vehevda. Yochokula, you might think that this means that she is completely freed. No. It says lo nifdata. Oh, so maybe she's not freed at all. No, it says she is free. Tam lo mevevda. Okay, it's she is partially free. Peduya veina peduya, chetzia shivcha vechetzia bat chorin. And she must be meureset le'eved ivri. Now we're going to talk about later on where that comes from, but she's obviously somebody. It makes sense that the only one that it could be is an Eved Ivri, because look, she can't get married to a normal Jew because she's partially an Eved, but she can't get married to a Kanani because she's partially a Jew. And if it says Necharefet Le'ish, it seems to be approving of the relationship. The only relationship that would be approved is a relationship with an Eved Ivri. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Give me Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael says, that's a regular Shivcha Knanit. And she's Mu'uresed to an Eved Ivri. Obviously, the word Mu'uresed has been used in this specific sense. Im kein matam lomar ve'evdal lo nivdata. So what's this double lashon? Oh, come on, says Rabbi Yishmael. This, of course, is Rabbi Yishmael. She's all over the place. You know that Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. So when you say completely not freed, you say evdal lo nivdata, not at all. Say, but you don't have to talk so much. But that's the idiom. The Torah speaks in idioms. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Omer, again, the Lashonas over here, the Braita, are the ones that we changed in the Mishnah, not Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. In any event, Kol HaRayot, it's very strange what he says, because it just seems to be repeating Rabbi Akiva. Kol HaRayot Mufurashot Lanu, all of the other Arayot are very clear. So, Mamishuyar Lanu, what is left that it could be the explanation of a Shivcha Harufa? Well, it's got to be that she's a Chetzi Shivcha, Chetzi Bat Chorin, Mureset to an Eved Ivri. And here the Braita brings yet another Shita, which we didn't see before. Acherim Omrim, Lo, here it says Beferish, they shall not die, Lo Yumtu, Ki Lo Chufasha. And that means we're talking about a Shivcha Knanit, yes, but she is Mureset to Eved Knani. Not to an Eved Ivri. Okay, so let's get back to understanding the Shitot. According to Rabbi Yishmael, he says, Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. What has that explained? Only the double lashon of Evdal lo nivdata. Okay, that's an idiom. Kiriktan, Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. But where do you get the part about being mu'uresed to an Eved Ivri? Because it says, Ki lo chufasha, she has not been freed. Mashma, but he is an Adam with Chofesh. And that is, that he's not an Eved Knani, he must be an Eved Ivri. Now, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says, well, what could it mean, but a Chatzi Shivcha v'Chatzi Bat Chorin, isn't that what Rabbi Akiva said? Exactly. Why is he brought here as an alternative Shita? As the Gemara Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Haina Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is not a different Shita. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is addressing Rabbi Yishmael. And he's telling Rabbi Yishmael, you know, normally, I want you to know, I agree with you. I hold like you hold. Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. So he's saying Rabbi Shimon Kama, Lididi, under normal circumstances, Biyama Kavatech Svirale, Didi Bratorak Shkil Shomene Adam. But in this case, I believe you're not paying sufficient attention to the Pasuk. Because all you've explained is the words of Hevda Lo Nivdata. But you're not explaining them in context. Because look, here it's different. Did you say that Lo Hufasha? Lo Hufasha means she's not free. Why do you have to say Avdalo Nivdata at all, Lomali? That's the problem. Don't tell me it's an idiom. I'm asking you, what do we need the idiom for if you already said that Kilo Hufasha? It's got, therefore, to be telling you, ignore your general sense of not looking at the details of an idiom. This idiom is being said specifically because of what it means precisely. When I say Lo Hufasha, what I mean is partially Avdalo Nivdata. Shma min alahachiyata. That's the only point. It's coming to tell me chetzi shivcha v'chetzi bat chori. Okay, and now the last shita lachirim. Okay, I understand what they say about hevdalo nivdat. Obviously, they all like Rabbi Shmuel. Dibrator alak shal b'nei adam. We're talking about a shivcha knanit. But why do they say that she's married to an evet knani? Omar kra. Kilo Hufasha, they're giving an alternative explanation for that double lashon. Kilo Hufasha, there is no freedom here, meaning at all. Imeno inyan ladida, tnei inyan ladide. We already know she's not free because it says the Lo Hufasha hevdalo nifdata. So what is the Lo Hufasha? Since this is a relationship without freedom, therefore bikoret tiye lo yumtu.
This is the one she's married to.
The guy who's violating the relationship by sleeping with her.
Who did that?
The husband. George Clooney.
The Kanani.
First, we're defining the relationship. Then we're defining the violation of that relationship. We're not talking about... They didn't do anything wrong.
Nice couple.
Kanani, Ivri, whatever. Okay. Nice couple. Comes along, mean Hollywood.
The master.
Not the master. Oh. No master. No master. What master? Oh, man. Master and commander.
And that couldn't breathe. No.
Oh, boy, have I done a lousy job explaining. Oh, my gosh. All right. No, it's my fault. I'm so sorry. We're talking about a relationship. We have a relationship of Eish HaTish. In a relationship of Eish HaTish, there's no master and commander. There's a guy out there hiding in the shadows that's creeping into the bed after her husband goes away. Here, too, we have an Eish HaTish, but it's not a normal Eish HaTish. It's a nice couple that are not completely married because she's not completely Jewish or whatever the situation is. And now the guy comes creeping into her bed. Who the guy is? I don't know. Some guy. All we're doing is defining the relationship. We're not defining the couple. The couple is fine, upstanding people, and we have no complaints about them. Okay, now, we are ready for our dear president. Kol Arayot. Continuing now, the difference between the Shivcha Charufa and all other Arayot in the Torah. Kol Arayot. Let's say you have one partner who is an adult, gadol, and one is not of age. He's a katan. So the katan is patur. If you have one partner being awake and one partner being asleep, the one who's asleep is patur. If you have one b'shogeg and one b'mezid, so normally the shogeg has a korban chatat, the mezid gets karet. But here, yes, says the Gemara, but here what? But here even the minor is chayev? What are you trying to say? No, of course not, says Reb Yudah. What it's saying is, in all other cases, if you have one is of age and one isn't of age, so then obviously the katan is potter, but the gadol is chayev. Over here, even the gadol is potter, because as we said before, if my taima, the mekashin adadi. Now, when it says mekashin adadi, it doesn't really mean mekashin adadi. because we're not really comparing her to him. It was only because of the way that the order of the pasuk went. If bikaratia on her, then veviat ashamo. That's what we're saying. So that it's always a reference to him. In other words, if she is mechuyevet, but if she is a katan, he is not mechuyev. That's the point. Doesn't mean both sides are compared to each other, as Tosis points out. The woman is not compared to the man. And this is, he brings Raya from Beferish, from the Brayta and Torat Kohanim. In other words, if he is a kata, but he's over 9 years of age, so he's capable of intercourse, we learn out in the Brayta that she is still going to be punished with malchus, even though he is put. But the other way around, if she is the one who's the katana, then he is put. That's what it means. Okay, you said all arayot, if one is awake and one is sleeping, the sleeping one is put. And here what? The sleeping one is chayim? The kan yashen nami chayim. No, says Rabbi Ramarab. It means all arayot, if one is awake, echad neyar, and one is yashen. The yashen is patur, but the neyar is chayav. But over here, if the male is awake, even he is patur because she is asleep. My taima, demekashen adadi, because as we said, you can only punish him if you're punishing her. Tani Tana committed Rav Sheshes. Now, there was a Tana who said over a weird braita in front of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes tears him apart on it. Shlomi doesn't know what he's talking about. So, he said like this, without defining the context, he didn't say, am I talking about a Shivcha Harufa? Am I talking about normal Arayot? He said like this, you know, a Gomer is just the same as a Ma'are. Which is weird, because I mean, it should certainly be the other way around. So they gave the same din to someone who was gomer biato with insertion, like a ma'aret, just with contact, genital contact. They made a mitkaven the same as an eno mitkaven. That's so weird. What does that mean? You're potter if you are mitkaven. They made bia kedarka the equivalent of shalom kedarka. Weird. What does that mean? And ne'ur ki yashen, they made someone who's awake as if they're asleep. So Rav Sheshes said to him, what in the world are you talking about, my God? I mean, look, it sounds like you're talking about a shivcha harufa, and that's where we deal with strange situations like this. But if that's what you're talking about, what do you mean? They made the gomer ki ma'aren. On the contrary, only the gomer of the shivcha is chayav. A ma'areh is not chayev, we said before, because we learned out from Shichvat Zera that it's got to be a gemar bia. Furthermore, a mitkaven is the same as an eino mitkaven. Only if she was mitkavenet is there any chayev. And if not, ilolo mechayev. Neither of them. Then you said, they made a bia kedarka, like a bia shalo kedarka? Huh? Well, what is that supposed to mean? Kedarka and only kedarka b'shivka charufa is chayev. But shalo kedarka is another difference between a shivka charufa normal arayot, because you're not chayev on bir shalo kedarka, my taima, shichvat zera aktiv. Zera refers to fertility. Obviously, you're not going to get very far on the fertility angle with anal intercourse. So therefore, nothing that you said makes any sense. What's this? Neur ki yashen? Look, if you're talking about other arayot katani, so then the whole thing is backwards. You're saying they made the gomer the equivalent of a ma'ara. Just the opposite. They made the ma'ara the equivalent of a gomer. They should have said it backwards. So the Tana said, okay, shall I press delete or not? Amalai Ismaye, so I delete? Amalai, no, but you gotta know what you're talking about. Okay, katani, I'll explain it to you. It means like this. Asu gomer, the meaning, the way that you got to look at this is that the case is being defined on all of the above acts. That's the point. In other words, the bia shalo kedarka over here is the main point. We're saying like this. Gomer as a lo kedarka. Which normally with an arayot, I mean, you couldn't do better. But with a shivcha harufa, You're not chayev because it's the same as in Ma'areh, even if it's kedarka. That's the point. So there was a shivka charufa will be potter on both gomer on shelo kedarka and on Ma'areh when it is kedarka. This is a shorthand for remembering both issues because they are both shichvat zera. A Ma'areh doesn't get anywhere with shichvat zera, and a Golo Kedarka, even a Gomer, doesn't get anywhere with Shechvat Zera. So one way or the other, it's bad news, and you're potter when it comes to the Shechvat Harufa. And why is that? The Shechvat Zera Ktiv. So we're basically putting together both halakhot that come from that pasuk. Furthermore, they made a mitkaven, meaning a mitkaven with a Shalok Kedarka with a Shechvat Harufa, as an Eno mitkaven, which is potter, because you're missing there too on Shechvat Zera. They made a neor, completely wide awake, knowing exactly what you're doing, but shelo kedarka, with a shivcha harufa, where you're potter as if you were asleep with the other arayot. My time shichvat zeraktiv. That's the point. So in other words, it's just coming to the bottom line. A mitkaven, a ma'areh, with a shivcha, is the equivalent of an eno mitkaven. With all arayot. A yashen, kedarka, is the equivalent of a yashen of arayot, where you're potter. So in other words, nibtzen ne'ur, shalok kedarka with a shivcha, is the equivalent of a yashen in all arayot. It's trying to build equivalencies. And therefore, it puts it in this fashion. Get that fox. Hadron alach arba am chusrei kapara.
Li neder chanta mehenek beret.
Amru lo achal tachelev. They come and they tell him, you just ate that piece of meat. Oh my God, that was chelev.
That was actually the fat.
He's been waiting for that.
No.
You could tell.
No.
Yes, it was like Winston Churchill with one of his.
No.
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 He's pretty good.
Miskaven is
basically. That's the other verb. There's a previous verb.
A second ago.
No, yeah, that's, what in the world? You're in the wrong misses.
Very unintentional.
Yeah.
Okay, they told him, you ate that piece of chelev. Yes, bring a chatas. But how about one witness says, hey, you ate chelev. The other one says, no, that wasn't chelev. And for that matter, even if it's not a kosher aid, an isha omeret, you ate, and another isha omeret, you didn't eat. Well, in that case, he brings an asham tolui, not a chatas. Now, how about if an aid says, you ate, and who says, no way, lo akalta. Then he would be potter. But if shnayim omri machal, lo omer lo akalti, let's say two witnesses tell Richie, you're fast asleep. And Richie says, me? I'm just, it's just a long
point.
Richie
doesn't say anything, he doesn't hear it.
Oh, that's the Gemara's question. What is the response? That we're going to see. So, in the case where he says, no, I didn't, Rabbi Meir says, who cares what he says? You're chayev anyway. Because Amar Rabbi Meir, im eviyu shnayim lidei mitach hamura. Look, these two witnesses could get the guy killed in court. So lo yaviyu lidei korban akal. Certainly they're going to be able to chayev him a korban. Amru lo, so the chachamim said to Rabbi Meir, now wait a minute. What if the guy would have told the witnesses, oh yeah, I did that, but that's exactly what I wanted to do. So then they wouldn't be machayev him a korban. So that means that two witnesses cannot be machayev you a korban. He would have been potter. Now, another thing is, suppose he was over on the same Isser with different achilot, but had never found out in between. Whereas, if he ate chelev and dam and pigal and notar all in one delicious souffle, behelam achat, over there, he would be chayav al kol achat v'achat. He would be chayav on every different type of iser separately. And that is chumra b'minim arbe minim achat. That is a chumra that occurs by different shemot of isurim, above and beyond what you would find with one iser. But there's also vice versa. There's times when it's more chumra, a min achat from minim arbe. Where would that be? Well, if a guy eats a chatzis ayat chelev, and then he comes and eats another katzizayt chelev. Yeah. Then they would be mitzvareif, as long as it's behelam echad. We're going to talk later about how much time could pass. Obviously, we know the answer to that.
It's always
after that process, of course, but we'll talk about it later. And that's only if it's mimin achad that could be mitzuraf. But mishnei minim, there's no way to be mitzarif achila of different species if you're talking about two different shemot of isurim. So in other words, there's no generic chatar in which we put together a kezayit from different isurim. Now, let's take a look at this Mishnah again. I'm very confused. It says, Amru lo achal tachela mevi chatat. Amru is how many people? I mean,
at least two.
How many people is plural?
What plus one is?
One. Amru means
maybe
two.
That's Helen Achas with Richie. What is it? Where are the boundaries of Helen?
No, that's Helen, not Helen. Helen. He's always the Helen. So how many people are there?
The hell am you say?
Come having two people. Okay, so two witnesses come. Tell me, what is he saying? What is he saying back to them? Who am I? My woman alone. I mean, if it's talking about that he's quiet and he doesn't deny it, so what would that mean? He's chayav, meaning because there are two. See, are you trying to tell me that it's only because El al shtika to train Udame Bichatat? But if there had only been one witness and he was quiet, then he wouldn't bring it? So now look at the very next case. Excuse me. He's potter. But only because he said, no, I didn't. But if he had been quiet, then he would have been chayav even for one. So taima the makrishle. But suppose you've been shatikis chayim. So kosher came if there were two. So I mean, the first two cases don't add up if we're talking about where he is being quiet. Ela, what's it talking about? It's got to be talking about that he said no, I didn't. And nonetheless, it says chayav, right? Okay, whose sheet is that? That's Rabbi Meir's shita. How many Rabbi Meir? The Omer Hakasha, the Veitre Lava Kashai. The denying what two witnesses tell you is not acceptable, and you're still going to have to bring your katas, right? Abul Rabbanan, you'd be potter. I understand. So, what is this adding? Isn't that what this Richie? Isn't that what the Seifa says? The Seifa says, Machlokas, Rabbanan Rabbi Meir, about a guy who says, "No, I didn't." So, why do we have the Reisha saying the same thing as the Seifa? No. You misunderstand the Mishnah. The Mishnah only has two parts. The closing is just a commentary on the opening. Hakamashmalan, the previous Mishnah was sponsored by Rabbi Meir. And Dover Zemach, look at Rabbi Meir Verabbanan. And this is only where he denied it. Okay, that's one way of reading the Mishnah. Now, Ikedi Amri, others have a different way of reading the Mishnah. They say like this. Amrulo. The word Amrulo can be understood as one witness, even though it says they. They just means, like we always say, they. You know, out there, there's always somebody that they.
They did a nice
and,
job.
Yes, exactly. And I can prove that to you, that we use the word they said. From a Mishnah in Yevamot. Because take a look at this Mishnah. A woman whose husband disappears overseas on a business trip, last heard from at some fancy hotel in Hong Kong, and never comes back. So they tell her, your husband died, made Bale. So she goes and gets married, and all of a sudden her husband walks in. The dinner over there is, take Satan, he's home, he says she's got to get rid of both husbands. Now, how do we explain the Mishnah over there? It's talking about one witness. How do I know? Continue reading that Mishnah. If she got married to the second husband without requiring the Rishut of Beit Din, which we're going to explain in a minute, as meaning there were two witnesses, so then she can go back to her original husband because she's considered to have been an anusa.
Without requiring?
Yes, without requiring. My shalob reshut, meaning shalob reshut peitin, meaning that there were two witnesses. So in other words, the reisha was talking about, she needed a special heter of peitin who accepted one witness, and that's the whole point over there. One witness is believable only because of the fact that there are a chumrah, that she's going to lose both husbands. That's exactly why we're accepting it. So now, if that's the case, it must mean that it's Be'ed Echad, okay? So the Reisha meant Omrula Davka Be'ed Echad, okay? So you see, Alma Gabi Be'ed Echad Katani Omru. So that word they said can mean a single witness. Now, what's the case? What is he saying when the one witness says this? Who Maika Omra? What does he say? If he is denying it, so how could it say Sky of a carbon if he's being makishle? Me might say, would he bring a carbon? Vakatani mitziata, does the very next case not say, quote, Eid Echad Omer Achal, Fuhu Omer Lo Achal, that you're patur? It says beferish, and there's no argument about that. If he disagrees with one Eid, then he does not bring the carbon. Ella, clearly, he is quiet. But I know that from the middle case. If he's being shatik, mimitziata shmamina, Eid Echad Omer, and he is makrish, he's butter. But that's only time of the kamakrish. It's only because he's denying it. But if he was quiet, he would be chayav even with the Eid Echad. So how do you explain the Mishnah now? I'll tell you how I explain it. It's talking about the lo makrish. He's been quiet. And Archi Katani, the Mishnah is all one thing. What it's saying is like this. A single witness tells him, Omrulo Akal Kela, maybe Chatat. Now, the Mishnah comes to explain itself. Bamed Bar Mamurim, when do we say maybe Chatat with one witness? The Shatik, where he's being quiet. But if he would be Makrishle, he would be Patur.
We're accepting that it's singular or not.
In the second version. Ma ben shivcha charufala ben kol arayot shelo shivta lehem lo ba'onesh lo be'korban shekol arayot bechatat shivcha ba'asham kol arayot echad ish ve'echad isha shavin b'makot be'korban b'shivcha lo ishva lo ha'ish l'isha b'makot v'lo isha l'ish be'korban kol arayot asa ben at ha'ma'are k'gomer v'chayav ha'ko b'yad v'b'yad זו חומר חמר בשפחה שעשה בה את המזיד כשוגד. איזו שפחה? כל שחצי השפחה וחצי בת חורים שנאמר ואהבתה לו נבדעת. טיב רבי עקיבא. רבי שמואל אומר, זוהי שפחה ודאית. רבי אלעזר בן עזריה אומר, כל העריות מפורשות ושיעורים לנו על החצי שפחה וחצי בת חורים. מינו לנדי לעקיבא ולא להגיד את הנרבנה. ביקורת תהיה בלמד שהיא לוקה. יוכל שניהם לוקים, תלמד לומר, תהיה, היא לוקה, והוא אינו לוקה. ומנאי דעדין ביקורת, לישת דמלכותו, אומר רבי יצחק, תהי בקרוי, כדתן הגדול הדיינים מקרה, שני מונה, שלישי אומר, הקהו, רבי אשר אומר, לא, בביקור, meaning לרופא, תהיה, כדתן. אין עומדים אותו על המכות הראויים להשתלש. תנו רבונן, בזמן שהאישה לוקה, האיש מביא קורבן. אין האישה לוקה, אין האיש מביא קורבן. מנולן, אומר רב התכתיב ואיש כי איש כבת אישה שכבת זרה, והיא שפחה נחרפת לאיש, והבדה לא נבדעת, או חופשה לא ניתן, המכתה. עד אחר באיש כמשתו יקרא. נכתוב, continue, והביא את השם על השם. And then go back to say, ביקורת תהיה on her. אמר כתב אחרונה ברישה, ביקורת תהיה, and only לבסוף כתיב, והביא את השם על השם. Therefore, we conclude that הכי כמה, אם ביקורת תהיה, then והביא את השם על השם. But אם לא ביקורת תהיה, לא יביאו את השם עוד. But maybe he should get both. No. It says, "Vayit Ashamo Lashem." Om Rabbi Yitzchak Le'olam Inam Chayav Al Shivcha Beula Be'olvad. Shema V'ish Shivcha Necherefet Leish. My Mashvad Necherefet Lishta Deshanuye. Tichtiv Atishtach Alav Harifot. Iboitema Im Tichtor Shevil B'Machtesh B'Toch Harifot Ba'ali. It won't do you any good. Lo Tosur Me'Alav Yivalto. ויתנו ידם להוציא נשיהם ואשמים אל צאן על השפטן. אומר רב חיסדא דתישא זה כולם שפחות חרופות בעל. איזהו שפחה חרופה? תנו רבנן, ועבדה. יאכל כולה? תאמר לומר לא נפדעת. יאכל לא נפדעת הרע? תאמר לומר ועבדה. הכיצד פדויה ואינה פדויה. חצי שפחה, חצי בת חורין, מורסת לה בדברי, דברי רבי עקיבא. רבי שמואל אמר בשפחה כנענית הכתוב בדבר, מורסת עבד עברי, אם כן מה אתה בלומר ועבדה לא נבדעת, דיברה תורה כלשון בני אדם. רבי אלעזר בן עזריה אומר, Call Ariad Mefurashat Lano. Must be Ella Chetishivcha Chetibat Chorin. Umuresef Avad Ivri. Acherim Omrim. Loyum Tuki Lohu Fasha. Which means Beshivcha Knani Takatov Bindaber. Must be she's Muresef Avad Knani. So, Larebi Shmuel, okay, Bisham Adolan, if that I understand. Kerektani Dibrata Rakar Shomene Adan. But where do you get Mureset Levit Ivri, Minolan? Dechtiv Kilo Chufasha, Mechladuhu Chufash, Rabbi Lozman Azaria. Isn't that the same thing that Rabbi Akiva said? No, he's talking to Rabbi Shmuel, come on. Lididi, I would normally agree with you. Dibrata Rakar Shomene Adan. But it's different over here. Mechti. Kativ leikro kilo kufasha. What do we need the whole idiom of the dalon yivdata lamali? Shema min alach yata. Chet yashivcha, v'chet yabat harin. The acherim, I understand the dalon yivdata. Kazav divrat torak reshom bnei adam, but how do you know that it's talking about Eved Knani? Omar kro kilo kufasha, which of course we don't need lenin dida, teo inyan leditei. Kol areyot echad gadol echad katan katan patur echad erev echad yashen yashen patur echad shogeg echad mezid shogeg echadat mezid bikarei but hacha yeah hacha what hacha chayav I'm reviewing it no hachitani kol areyot echad gadol echad katan in that case the katan would be patur but the gadol would be chayav the point of here is that the gadol is also patur. My time in a mekashin hadadi. Kol arayot echad neor vechad yashen yashen patur. But kan what yashen nami chayav? No, no. I'm Rabbi Amrav. Okay, Tony. Kol arayot echad neor echad yashen yashen patur v'neor chayav. Kan afil neor patur. My time in a mekashin hadadi. Tony Tanaka ben Rav Sheshet. Asu gomer kemara mitkaven keino mitkaven kedarka shalom kedarka neor ki yashen. I'm like, you know what you're talking about? I mean, iba shivcha harufa ketani. What do you mean asu gomer kemara? On the contrary, only the gomer b'shivcha harufa is bechayev. The mara is not bechayev. Furthermore, asu mitkaven kishalom mitkaven. If she was bechavenet, then and only then are either them bechayev. If not, neither are bechayev. But asu kedarka, shalom kedarka, only kedarka b'shivcha harufa is mechayev. Shalom kedarka is not mechayev. My time is shechvat zerakti. And what's this neorki yashen? Are you talking about b'shar arayot katani? So then everything's backwards. Asu gomer kemara, ipchei boile lemitne. Amale, do I press delete? Amale, no, no. But you got to know what you're saying. Hoki katani. Asugo mer shalom kedark of the shivcha rufa the lo mechayev like a ma'arev kedark where you're also not chayev for the same reason the shichvat zerakti asumit kavein with the shalom kedark b'shivcha where you're potter the equivalent of an eino mitkavein at all because shichvat zerakti asum neyur with the shalom kedark with the shivcha which is potter as the equivalent of a yashen ma'itayma shichvat zerakti in other words what we're saying is. Is a mitkaven and a mara with a shivcha is the equivalent of an eno mitkaven b'chol arayot. Yashin kedarka ki yashin da arayot. Nimtza neor shalom kedarka with a shivcha is the equivalent of a yashin with all arayot. Amru lo akalta chelev mevi chatat. Eid echad omer akalta. Ve'ed omer lo akal. Isha omer atachal, isha omer at lo akal. Mevi Hashem tolui. Eid omer akal v'u omer mapitam. Lo akalti. Patur. Shnaim omrim akal v'u omer lo akalti. There. Rabbi Meir is b'chayim. Omer Rabbi Meir, look, he mevi'u shnaim v'u mitach amura. You think that they're not going to be v'u l'day korban akal? Amru lo the chakamim. Mind your tzel omar. Mezid ayiti would be potter. Ochal chela v'chela b'elam achad, eno chayav ala achad. Ochal chela v'dam v'pigo v'noote b'elam achad, chayav kol achad v'yachad. Ze chomer b'minim arbe mimin achad. But on the other hand, chomer b'min achad mimim arbe, she im achal kechatzi zayid, v'chazar v'achal kechatzi zayid b'elam achad. Mimin achad only you'd be chayav, but mishnei minim you would be potter. Okay, how do we understand the Mishnah? Now, Amru sounds like a minimum of two people, okay? Kamavi train. What did he say back to them? So you're saying it's only because of shtika tatu that you may be chatat? And shtika dechad not? So look at the next thing. Only because he's makrish as he put. But if he would be shatik, he'd be chayiv even to an eight echad. Kosh can tray. Elo what? He's being makrish. So then it's Rabbi Meir who says that akosh the betray is lava kasha, and therefore you're chayiv. But according to Rabbanu, he'd be potter. But we learn all of that in the Sefer. So the Ma'akamashma be Sefer Shvamina. The Sefer is saying, Kamashma, Dover Zeh, in this ratio, is really Machok and Rabbi Meir Rabbanu. And it's talking about the Kamakishle. Ikidi Amri, just the opposite. Amrulo undoubtedly it means here even one. Because we find in Yevamot the Tanaish Shalach Balan Medina Tayam Ubo Va'omrula, they said, and we're going to see in a moment that means one said, made by Alech when he said, Achar Kach Ba Baala Teitzim Izel Mizeh. And over there we explained that that Omru is talking about Echad, because since the Mishnah continues on to say Niseit Shalob Rishut, then she's Muteret Lachzer Lo, and we explain that as meaning Shalob Rishut, meaning she didn't require Rishut Pei Din, because you had two witnesses. So Mechal Doresh was Bereshut Beit Din, meaning there was only one witness. Amagabe Eid Echad, we use the language of they said. That's the same as we mean over Yochinami, Diktani Omrulo, Mashma Filo Eid Echad. Now I ask you, what was his response? Ilema de Kamakishle, what you're telling me, Chayav? Mi maite? Doesn't the very next case say, Eid Echad Omer Achavu Omer Lo Achavis Patur? So it's got to be that he's shatik. But then that's the next case. Mimitziata shemamina. Eda chadomer. And he's makrish. So you see from there, time of the coming krish. But if he was shatak mishtak, he would be chayim. Mi olam de lo mikrish le. V'ochi katani. Omrulo akata chelev mevi chatat. Continues the Mishnah Bamed. V'orim amurim de shatik. Avo makrish le patur. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Hey, they used to have this thing, you know, you go click, it's quick.
Flip the hydrogen Mishnah.
Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph, and we're still at the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis. Elu Mevim Korban Olav Yorein. The next case that we had in the opening Mishnah were the cases of Korban Olav Yorein, and here they are. Shmiat Kol, which is the demand for someone to be Me'id, and he then makes a statement that he doesn't know anything about it and swears to it. V'al bitui svataim, that's the regular shvuat bitui. V'al tumat migdash ukedoshav. And of course there's different types of korban olah v'yored. This korban olah v'yored gives us korban olah v'yored of three levels. So you go from a chatas behema to a bird, if you can afford it, to a mincha, bedalei dalut. We also have a yoledet and a mitzorah, which there you can't really call it olav yored in the sense of having a full scale, but there is some element of olav yored in that we can substitute a bird, or two birds, we'll see what the cases are, for one of the korbanot. We never go down to dalei dalut. And the Brisa now is going to make it clear to us by putting all of the various cases together. Turn around a moment. Yesh mevi bedalut v'ashirut, v'yesh mevi bedalut, v'yesh mevi bedalei dalut. And what is this supposed to mean? Yesh mevi bedalut v'ashirut means that a yoledet is always in a situation where she brings both bedalut v'ashirut simultaneously. Because if she's bringing as an ashira, a keves for an oila, she's still going to be bringing a bird for a chatas, which is the way an aniya usually would bring. On the other hand, if she's an aniya and she's bringing two birds, one for an ola and one for a chatas, she's still bringing the same bird that the ashira would have bought, which is the chatas, which is also, no matter what, she's bringing the dalut, the ashirut. Mitzora, maybe the dalut. A mitzora only can bring dalut as opposed to dalai dalut. Shmiat HaKol, Bitui Svatayim, Betumat Mikdash V'Kedoshav, bring either Bedalut or Bedalei Dalut. There's another brisa that actually forces us to clarify the dinim in our mind. V'tanya idach, yesh mevi echad tachat echad. Sometimes we bring one carbon in the next level down, instead of one carbon in the level up. Yesh mevi shnayim tachat shnayim. Sometimes we substitute two carbonot for two possible higher level carbonot. Yesh mevi shnayim tachat echad. Sometimes we have to substitute two lower carbonot for one higher carbon. Of course, because we often will bring two birds, a cane, one l'chatat and one l'olah, in place of a single chatat be'imah. And there's also a case, interestingly enough, where you bring one korban tachat shnai. Of course, we're going to go through all of this. And then, surprisingly, the end of this little conundrum is, mikana talamed l'asirit ha'ifah b'pruta. And that teaches you the value of an asirit ha'ifah. So when you're bringing a mincha, you now know that it costs one penny. Now that's going to be a kunst to figure out that. Okay, so now let's figure out what exactly this little puzzle is meant to be. Yoledet mevi'a achat tachat achat. A yoledet, anyway, even if she's an ashira, brings one bird for a chata, and a keves behema for her ola. So she can substitute, if she can't afford it, for that animal, she can substitute a bird. So she's basically bringing one for one. One bird for one behema. Prida achat, and the ov tachat hakeves. Then, a mitzora, he had two kvasim to bring. He had one leola, a keves, one lechatat kivsa, and he can substitute two birds, one lechatat, and one lo'ola, which is the standard of a cane. Very good. Shmiat kol, bitui svatayim, tumat migdash u'kedoshav. They substitute for the single chatat that they would have brought, two pridim, echat lechatat ve'echat lo'ola, tachat kipsa achat. Okay? It's a very beautiful word by the Meshech Chochma as to why that would be true. But why would we substitute a cane, one for a chatas, one for an oila, if it's only taking the place of a chatas? And he says a beautiful pshat. The chatas behema has two elements in it. It has the dam al hamizbeach, and it also has the emurim on the mizbeach. But when you bring a chatata oaf, if you will recall, there's only dam al hamizbeach. Where does the mizbeach get to eat, so to speak? That is the ola portion of the prida that comes together with the chatas that takes the place of the emurim of the behema, so that now you have both on the mizbeach. I know what you're thinking, Barnea, but I'm not going to interrupt to say it.
So why is it sometimes down from one to one?
Because there's only one bird that you're bringing. That's an ola, takas an ola. It's not cases where you're substituting for a chatas. Umevi'im. Now, there's also the case in Dalei Dalut, where instead of those two birds, what do you bring? An Asirit HaEifah. So if you're bringing an Asirit HaEifah, you're now bringing it in place of Tachat Shnei Pridim. So now you have one in place of two. And Mikana Talomet. Now here's the really tough part. This teaches us that an Asirit HaEifah is Bepruta. Now, oh man. Minolan, how in the world could we possibly derive from the series that we just went through the din that Asiris Eifa is worth a penny? Ah, you got to work it out. The turnaround one. Ha'omer ha'realai b'selah l'mizbeach. The person says, I'm going to bring that which is worth a selah to the mizbeach. What is that korban? He's chayev to bring a keves. Why is that? She'in davar karev b'selah el keves. The only thing where the Torah defined the value of the animal that would be brought for the a selah to the mizbeach is a keves. Where do we see that? Mimai. V'diyomer achmona el asham b'kesef shkalim. The only place where the Torah went out of its way to specify the monetary value of a korban is by the asham, where you bring an ayil. An ayil is an animal in its second year and above. And there it says it has to be worth a minimum of 2 shkalim, which is 2 sela. Michlal de Keves, which is only a ben shana, an immature ayah, would be worth 1 sela. Now, the truth is, Rashi says elsewhere that this is really a halakha l'barshim yisim. Tosfos learns that it isn't even, it's not really a chiyav. You could bring a chatas pas danka, which is you could buy it for a dime, really. This is only lechatchila. Others learn the chatas pas danka has to be referring to a case where you're bringing a goat, not a sheep. So you bring a sawyer for a danka. In any event, given this information, look at our Mishnah. What does it say about our Mishnah? On that day that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel made his takona, what did the value of the kinim fall to? It says, Omdu kinim bo bayom berivatai. On that day, the value of a kin went down to 1/4. Okay, now, we know, given that that's true, we now have 2 values, okay? We're given the value for the level of a carbon, which is a keves, and we're also given the value of the bird. Now, this is fascinating because there is, in fact, a case where bird takes place of keves, isn't there? That's the case of Yoledet. I have a single bird taking the place of the keves. Okay. So what happens over here is, since now we just saw that midachas rachmona alei the dalus, the lemahavi chad mishish asar ba'ashirus, that means chas rachmona alei the dalei dalus, lemahavi chad mishita sar bedalus. Since we now are told that the Torah has allowed us to take now a bird instead of a keves, that keves is worth 1 sela, and now instead we're able to come along and replace the keves, we're allowed to replace it with the cane, which is worth 1/4. If it's worth 1/4, then that means it's 1/16. Remember, 1 sela is 4 dinar. 1/4 of a dinner, then, would be 1/16 of a sela. If that's the case, then we should assume that the same chas rachmone that applies to the difference between a rich person and a poor person would apply to the difference between a poor, in the sense of a middle-class person, and to a truly poor person, which would also be 1/16. Okay, so now that means Kama prite bariva, let's analyze the number of pennies that there are in 1/4. Don't use the American system for pennies in 1/4. But rather, if you take a look at the copper pennies that work out to be in 1/4 of a dinar, it's 48 prite. Divide 48 by 16, and what do you get? 3. Right? So in other words, the 1/16th of the value of keves to bird is 1/16th of the value of bird to mincha. Of course, that still brings us to 3, not to 1 pruta. Okay, asks the Gemara, all right, well, that's all very nice. Chad mishita sakamehavi, now the dalas tlasa priti, that works out to 3 cents. But I thought we just said mikana talamid lasir sefer bepruta. How do you get a pruta? My pruta, Amrit Asir Sefer Dalei Dalasu, Vamit Chad Mishit Sre De Dalasu, De Chashvinan De Sholosh Prite Havyan. We just worked it out. It's not 1 penny, it's 3 pennies. Well, excuse me, but the Tana Mioletis Yolet. Remember, the real source over here is the substitution of a keves. What's the substitution of a keves as opposed to a kipsa? For the case of the Dalus of them. Remember, let's just review this. We had, in the opening, we had a description of a case where 2 birds take the place of 1 behema, and that is the standard for replacing a kipsa, which is a chatas, with 2 birds. Okay. And then instead of those 2 birds, you bring 1 asirisa efa, bedale dalut. And we're trying to say, okay, 2 birds to the 1 animal is the 1/16th, because Cain went down to 25 cents, so to speak, to 1/4 in our Mishnah. And that takes us down to 3 cents to the Minchas Omer, right? to the Minchas Chote. But you're forgetting that there was another case in the opening where we said that sometimes it's 1 tachas 1. What's the case of 1 tachas 1? the Yoledet brings a Chatas, which is a bird, even if she's an Ashira. The only thing is, she has to bring a Keves for her Ola. If she's Dal, then she goes down to two birds. One bird took the place of the Keves Lola. So she now has a bird Lola. But 1 second, a bird is only worth half of the quarter, because you bought a cane, Barivatai. So that means that there's actually not a relationship of 1 to 16 between the Ashir and the Dalut. There's a relationship of 1 to 32 between the Ashir and the Dalut, correct? Now that should, is this clear? What are you making a face for? Half of 16 is 132. It's two for a quarter in the Mishnah. You're not making that face because you're thinking. You're making the face because you're fading out. Okay, half of 1/16 is 1/32. Good. The problem is, of course, that as our accountant has told us, the half of 3 cents is 1.5 cents. And the Mishnah insists that you can get down to 1 cent, and it's still not going to help us. Okay, so let me just tell you where we're going. Basically, what we really want to do is, we want to establish that the relationship between an usher to a doll is the equivalent of the relationship of a doll to a doll, right? Which means that even though in the situation where you would actually have a doll, which would be the case of the Korban Olah of a Yored, not the case of Yoledes, because Yoledes never goes down to Dali Dalut, nonetheless, the proportion is meant to be maintained. So in other words, even though if we look directly at the case of any Olah v'Yored, it's always going to be two birds tachas one, and not one bird tachas one, so it's a relationship of 1 to 16. And therefore you would say, okay, I can learn out the relationship of Ashir to Dal to be 1 to 32nd. But then I don't have the right to apply that to the case of Olah v'Yored, where I took two birds in the case place of the Dal, which is 1 to 16. So I'm still going to be left with at least a 1 to 16 relationship between the Dal and the Dali Dalos, which only brings us down to 1.5 cents. But if we actually insist that the relationship is always the equivalent of Chos Rachmana, so we could say, look, what's the maximum Chos Rachmana? The Eila.
Maximum.
What is the maximum case that the Torah had mercy on this guy? He's making me trouble again. If you get tired of it, you're right behind him. So we have a relationship of 1 to 32 in the chas, in the mercy that the Torah has on the ani, in a case where that ania is a yoledet. Take that proportion of 1 to 32 and put it into the relationship of dal to dali dalus, which takes you down to 0.75. Instead of 1.5 cents, you're now down to 0.75 cents. So you'll say, so why does the Mishnah say it costs a penny? We round it off to a penny because it's not right to bring something worth less than a penny to the Mizbeach. But there you go. So that's how we work. Now let's just see that inside. Ask the Gemara, but I thought that works out the Tlasa, Pripit. And you said it's Bepruta, my Pruta. Didn't we just work it out the Kashvina Shalosh Pripit, Avya? No. Tana Mioledet Yalif. Actually, the Tana was basing the proportion on the case of the Yoledet, who's bringing a single bird in place of her Keves Lo'ola. A single bird is only a half of a cane, which is therefore half of the quarter, which is the quarter of the dinner, which worked out to 1/16. Half of a quarter of a dinner's relationship to a Sela is 1/32. And therefore, you have it down now to what appears to be 1.5. Yeah, okay, fine. I mean, but still, the outcan dale dalut chave havim. But still, the relationship of dale dalut to dal, which has to be derived from the case of Korban Olah v'Yored, that's still only 1 to 16. Chad ben shitasar the dalut, right? Because I mean, what's the basis of it? The miyecha yolifla mikeves v'ayah. The whole basis was the original limud from keves v'ayah, which still down to pruta v'palga havim. You still have 1.5 frutos, not one. Oh, my Rava, no. The entire proportion, kula milta, is meant to be yoledet, meant to be learned from yoledet, yoledet yali. V'achika amar, what the Tana of the Brisa was, all of this, of course, was put to you for this week's Times Gemara puzzle. You were supposed to figure all this out just by those words. And see, this proves that all you need is a penny for an Asirus Haifa. Okay? So by saying that, what he meant for you was to understand that the proportion is to be learned out of Yoledes, even for Dalei Dalut. Because Midefes Rachman Alei de Dalut. Since we find, in the maximum case of Chas, which is the case of the Yoledes, whose single birth takes the place of her Keves La'ola, and that's a relationship of 1 to 32 in value, Umayi Yoledes, in the same way, Hachi, to the same proportion, Chas Rachmane Ale de Dalei Dalut, even though that doesn't apply to the case of Yoledet, who doesn't have a Dalei Dalut, and that too is 1/32nd, 1 to 32 in the relationship of the value of the cane. So we're going to wait a second here. So then we're going down to Nechi Riva de Pruta. That's minus 0.25 here from the full Pruta. You only have 0.75 of a Pruta. Take off a quarter of that Pruta. So why does the Mishnah say it's a Pruta? The Bryce say it's a Pruta. Hachinami, fine. I mean, you know, we also know how to divide. It isn't right to be such a cheapskate, not even to pay 2 bits for your carbon, that we said, look, it's, you can go all the way down to a pruta.
This is the source of, I can get it for you,
was there a fixed price in there to charge for these?
No, but the only example, in other words, we have a historical example. A historical example against a maximum value, a historical example of a minimum value. No, the norm was that you bought from the gizbar, you bought a ticket. You didn't actually, you simply paid for a ticket, and then it was put aside for you.
So they fixed the price.
My God, what are you, one of those Christian people who are complaining against these Pharisees that they fix prices? They went according to the market values. Market value fell to a... Otherwise, what do I got to go to them for? I can bring my own bird, but I'm a chuyif to go to them. It's a free country, man. Ma ben shifcha v'ven kol ha'arayot. Now, we had an example of a very special carbon. It's interesting. The whole perek, basically... Mesechta opened up with a list of arayot, each one of them which was chayav achatos. It's only one case where we had in the list of Arba Mevim or Pasham is a Shifcha Charufa. So that means that the Torah has given us very different dinim for a Shifcha than for a regular case of Arayot. What, in general, what is special about the case of Shifcha Charufa lebein kol ha'arayot? I'll tell you. I mean, first of all, Lo shivta lehem lo ba'onesh v'lo b'korban. I mean, the shivcha charufa is not similar to any of the arayot, not only in terms of the korban that's different, which we saw, but even in the onesh that is given, because kol arayot, first of all, kol arayot b'chatat, and a shivcha is ba'asham. That was the first thing that we saw, fully different. Kol ha'arayot, and here the girsa is confused, but echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha shavin b'makot b'korba. All of the other cases, there's no difference between the male and the female. If you're chayev makot, in other words, whoever does it b'mezid is chayev b'makot, or misa, as the case may be, whoever does it b'shogeg is chayev b'korban, but by shivcha, that's not true. Lo hishva, lo ha'ish li'isha b'makot, v'lo hishva isha li'ish b'korban. The male who does the act of sleeping with a shifcha charufa, the mezid, is not given malkut. He only brings the korban asham. On the other hand, the woman who is the shifcha, who is overt b'shogeg, is not going to bring a korban at all. So she doesn't have the dinim that the man has either. So there's a completely different system of chiyuvim for the male participant than for the female participant, which is something that we never saw anywhere in the Torah. It always says oto ve'etem. The male and the female that are involved in the act have the same halacha.
What's the case here? A man has a shivcha,
Oh, that we'll see. That the Mishnah's gone. I'm sorry. The Mishnah will clarify that. What exactly is the case? Furthermore, kol ha'arayot asabahenat ma'arek gomer. Another difference is that in all the other cases, the arayot, as we learned out in Yevamot, we consider ma'areh. Now, there's a machlokus of ma'areh. Ma'areh, according to one mandiyomar, means genital contact. The moment you have genital contact, even if there's no penetration, it's already considered to be an act of intercourse as far as halakha is concerned. Others learn that ma'areh is at least partial penetration. So the achmasat ha'atara is a minimum for ma'areh, and that even though you don't have a full penetration, it's considered to be an act of intercourse. That's not the case by Shikha Harufa, where the Torah goes out of its way to specify Isha Shikhvat Zara. In other words, we're talking about a full-scale intercourse, and therefore your putter only in this case uniquely on a ma'areh. Furthermore, Chayav Al-Kol Biyah U'Biyah, and of course all of the other arayot, we know that every time you get a hatra in terms of the mason, or you have a yediyah in terms of shogeg, you're chayav on each act of intercourse independently. Mashenkin over here, we said the feirush, no matter how many times he slept with the shibcha, the end is that he brings one asham. That was in the Mishnah of Yesh Mevi Korban Echad Al Averot Arbeit. And this was one of the prime examples of that. Now, zuchomer mir b'shivcha, there is, in a sense, a chumrah about a shivcha that we don't find elsewhere. Namely, that the Torah makes sha'asaba at ha'mezit kishogeg, that even in a case, this doesn't sound like a chumrah on the surface, because it says, even if you're a mezit, you're a shogeg. But it is a chumrah, because normally, if somebody is over an avera, he does not accept hatra'ah. You got to be out of your mind. Somebody comes and says to you, don't do that, we're going to beat you. So you say, yeah, well, I want to be beaten. I mean, why would anybody say that? So basically, we never punish anybody. So he can get away with murder. But, obviously, we take our social punishments. You know, we throw him in jail, don't bother feeding him, and stuff like that, in cases of murder. In other words, so those types of things, we protect society, but that's a different issue. But in terms of the chiyav midiraisa, if you don't accept hatra'ah, we're powerless to act against you. Ex post facto, anyway. Can't punish you. But when it comes to shivcha harufa, even the mazid where you didn't accept hatra'ah, you're still going to have to bring a korban, and we'll take that out of your eyes. Make you bring a korban. So over there, it's a chumrah. Now, as Rabbi Yaakov has asked, what exactly is a shivcha harufa? Ezui shivcha harufa? Kol shechetya shivcha v'chetya bat chori. First of all, it says necharefet le'ish, which means that there's obviously a level of relationship that she has to a particular individual, which implies some aspect of kiddushin. Now, it can't be a complete kiddushin, because then she would be an eshet ish. We already have a whole parsha of a rayot of eshet ish. Furthermore, I mean, even if you think about it, the very fact that the Torah was mavdil between the ish and the isha, in terms of the onesh, makes it very clear that vis-a-vis one of the participants, this woman is not quite married. Whereas to her, she is more married. Now, how would that work out? So what's happening over here is the fact, this shivcha was originally owned by two people, let's say. One of them frees her. Now that makes her half free, which puts her in a rather strange position, because she can't marry an Eved Kedani if she's half free. He's not allowed to marry a free woman. On the other hand, a regular Ben Yisrael can't marry her because she's not completely free. And he's not allowed to be sleeping with slaves, with a shivcha. So the case where it would work out perfectly would be an Eved Ivri. Now he is allowed to sleep with a shivcha. He's also certainly allowed to be sleeping with a full Jewish woman, as he's a full Jewish man. And therefore, if she is married to an Eved Ivri, she's not quite married, because she's only miyuchedah to him, since he can't have a complete kiddushin in her, because she's not fully free. So therefore, as far as a Jew, a normal Jew would be concerned, who comes to sleep with her, says, well, come on, she's not really married. I mean, I gave it to my Eved. But, I mean, it doesn't make her married, does it? So there, the Torah says, okay, let him bring an asham.
And she gets Malkuth.
And she gets Malkuth because as far as she's concerned, this is the maximal level of relationship that she could have had with a man, which sort of locks her into a relationship that she's not meant to violate.
She's meant to be steady with one Edward?
Yeah. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Zoi Shivcha Vada'it. Shivcha Harufa means a full class Shivcha. She doesn't have half of a Bat Chorin in her. We'll see what they're arguing. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, look, I mean, consider the situation over here. Kol ha'arayot mefurashot. All of the arayot, including the various elements of Eshet Ish, appear b'feirush in the Torah. The Mishnah already dealt with them. What is left that a Shivcha Harufa could be? If a Shiur in Lan Lelachetze Shivcha Vachetze Bat Chorin, that she should be included in a Parsha of Arayot to some extent and yet not be mentioned in the previous big Parashot of Arayot, is that the only thing that's left is a Chetze Shivcha Vachetze Bat Chorin, which of course seems to be completely repetitious of what Rav Yehuda said. The Gemara is going to say, what the heck is he talking about? Says the Gemara. I mean, no one, first of all, this is a strange situation that she gets Malkuth, he doesn't get Malkuth, how do we know that? I mean, no one, tihi laki v'hu lo laki, the Tanur Rabbanan. Bikoret tihyeh, but teaches us melamed shehi loka. This is a bikoret tihyeh. We understand that also to mean, in a sense, that she stands b'mifchan. So we're using the word very loosely here. What is this mifchan? I mean, this is already more of a Kabbalistic idea that there's the technical idea. Obviously, bikoret means that she gets malchus, which the Gemara is about to express. But bikoret tihyeh means that there are elements of good and bad mixed in this relationship. And basically, I mean, as the Balei Kabbalah point out, this is similar to the idea of the case of the Yifat Toar, that there are elements that the Torah likes about the assimilation of non-Jews into Klal Yisrael. It just doesn't encourage it. So in other words, if it's done, we accept the fact that, okay, well, it was done, so it's a good thing it was done, so to speak. But the way in which you go about doing it, the Torah doesn't really approve. It's a very strange category. You know, like the Ruth Boaz kind of thing. The whole thing was a little bit iffy, you know. And the Lo Dibur Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara by the Yifat Toar, or even this beautiful Ramazim here again in the Balei Kabbalah to the Vichiper Alav HaKohen, and it says over here that's meant to be the Tikkun of Zimri's Chet by Pinchas. So there's always a Bikoret in which we analyze which things were good out of this, which things were bad out of this, and it requires a Kapara, but we don't look at it as a total washout, as Chet, you know. So, okay, but the Parshita meaning, but the technical meaning of Bikoret Tihyeh teaches us that Bikoret, she shall be in a state of Bikoret. And what is that Bikoret? Malkus. As we'll see why we say that. Yocho Shnehem Lokim, Tamud Omar Tihyeh. It's she is Lokim. Who ain't Lokim? Umenayin Da'adin Bikoret Lishtun the Malkutu? Who tells you that the word Bikoret has something to do with Malkus? Omer Yitzchak, well, every Malkus is done by reading Psukim. Because why? We don't just hit people. We hit them in the context of teaching them a lesson. So we read the lesson to them. Kiretanya, Gadola Dayanim Makre, he reads the Pasuk, he flesh him as Makotech, and so on and so forth. The Shlishi, the Sheni is Moneh, and the Shlishi Omer Hakeyut. So that means that that's part of the Malkut ceremony. Ravashi says, no, Malkut is called Bikoret because you need a medical examination. And that's a Bikur. You need a Bikur, it's a La Rofe. We don't give someone Malkut if there's a chance of damaging that person's health. So Kiritznan, Inon Dimatola Makota Ruyin Lishtalesh. And when we make that analysis, so in other words, somebody's high of Malkut. So first of all, the doctor has to say, okay, what, how many Malkut can he tolerate, or she tolerate in this case, and then it has to be capable of being divided by three, because of where we hit them, and we'll knock it down to the lowest divisible by three. Okay, so therefore Bikoret is Malkus. Turn around one of his Mancha Isha Loka. Now this is a new halacha. We didn't have this yet.
If she's getting malchus, then he brings a korban. But if she's not getting malchus, let's say she's a ketana, or she was a shogegat, or an anusa, then he doesn't do anything. He doesn't bring a korban either. So in other words, their interrelationship uniquely defines the onus here, which we never saw in any of the arayot either. So ein ha'isha loka, ein ha'ish mevi korban. Boy, how do we know that? Minola, Amar Rava, dektiv ish ki nishkavet isha shechvat zara, ve'ish yipcha nekrefet l'ish ve'evda lo nivdata, o chupsha lo nitan la. Now, take a look at the whole story is speaking about what the male did, right? The ish went ahead, and he was shochev isha shechvat zara, and what was that woman? A shechvat nekrefet l'ish. So the whole thing is talking about him. Doesn't it make sense to say ve'heviyat ha'shamola Hashem? And then say, Bikorati, as far as she's concerned, as an afterthought. But we're discussing him, we're not discussing her. So say first, afterwards, as an afterthought, tell me what the din is about her. Why did the Torah, all of a sudden, in the middle of discussing what the din is of him, change it to talk about her? So, Amai Katav Rachmana Beresha Bikorati, therefore, Hakika Amar, we can only understand that to be trying to teach us something. That im bikoreti yet, meaning he, ve'viyat ha'shamo la'Hashem, who? In other words, she is in a state of malkut, and that could only be that she's a gedola, and that she knows what she's doing, and so on. Then he brings his korban. But im lo tiyat bikoret on her, lo yavihu et ha'shamo. Now, why is it that we view these as being mutually exclusive? She getting malkut, and he bringing the korban. I understand it already said that he doesn't get the malkut, but how do we know that she doesn't have to bring the korban? So, why don't we say, Ema, says the Gemara, who miatekra? He was indeed excluded from the tihiyeh. Abo hi tilaki viteki korban. Why doesn't she have to also bring a korban? That's because it says, ve'viyat ashamo la'ashem. He brings his asham, not ve'vi asham la'ashem. So it's stressing the male's karma, not the female's. Om Rebbe Yitzchak, la'olam eno chayav, ela al shivcha bu'ula bilvad. It's another strange halacha about a shivcha charufa. A shivcha charufa has to be a non-virgin. If she's a virgin, he's not chayav. Because the Torah uses a very strange word to talk about the relationship that she has to another man. Charufa. I mean, I want to talk about she's what, mekudeshet, miyuchedet. I mean, what does charufa mean? So the only thing is the relationship of charufa to harifot. Harifot means crushed, broken, which in terms of a woman would mean that she's a bu'ula. Shenema v'ishivcha necharefet l'ish. Umay mashvilay necharefet l'ish adishin nuyehu. How do we know that the word necharefet means that she has been bodily changed? Dechtiv, because we find by the Yonatan and Achimatz estate, and they're hidden in a bar. And it says over there, v'tishtach alav harifot. And harifot is the word that you use to refer to grain that was crushed up, was pounded. So this Isha had to have been pounded, so to speak. Or, there's the way that Shlomo HaMelech refers to it. Im tichtosh ha'avil b'machtesh b'toch harifot ba'ali. He's not going to change. So you can take an avil, you can put him into a mortar and pestle situation and smash him up, and it ain't going to make any difference to him. But you put him in there b'toch harifot. So in other words, this of course is a much more sexual image, the case of the Ali. And that is a clear reference here to the breaking of the Petuli. Vayitznu yadam lohotzi nishehem va'ashemim el etzon alashmatam. When they came back, the second Beit HaMikdash, and the Ezra and the Nehemia were very upset by the moral status that they found going on over there in Eretz Yisrael. And it says over there that when they got everybody together, that one of the things that everyone did is they got rid of the non-Jewish women that they had taken. And then it says they brought a korban asham on their ashamam.
Rav Chisda teaches us, Malam Shkulam Shifchot Harufot Baalu. All of them had taken Shifchot Harufot, which of course is the most natural thing in the world. If you own the Shifcha already, obviously she's meant to be used for sexual purposes, which she really is in a sense. If I take a Shifcha who is Jewish, then we understand that the money of the purchase basically was meant to secure a marriage in the end. So by a Shifcha Kananit, I also understand that the meaning is mixed in my acquisition. Like they say today, sex slaves. It's sort of a concept of slavery. Very very common in Israel, unfortunately. So that idea, all of them that were involved in that, that's why they brought an Osham. The Rabbeinu Tam, this is one of the Rabbeinu Tam's big riots, that Yovel was still knowing at the time of the second Mishnah, despite the fact that the Aseret HaShvatim hadn't been chosen. Remember that we spoke about this a number of different times, different Masechtas, where Tosfos is Mechadesh, as long as you have a representation from the various Shvatim, that's called the Shvatim are Aleha. And one of his riots is, why were they bringing an Asham for Shivcha Harufa? You can't buy, basically, a Shivcha if there is no din of... the idea over here that you have an Eved Ivri that's going to be sleeping with it, that's going to be a Miyucha for a Shivcha, and then you go and sleep with a Shivcha. All of that requires a relationship to Yovel. What exactly would the case have been? Ezoi Shivcha Harufa. Okay, so now the Mishnah comes to define what exactly a Shivcha Harufa is. Tanu Rabbanan, it says the Brisa, look, let's analyze the pasuk. V'ish ki yishka v'tisha shichvat zara, v'hi shivcha necharefet l'ish, v'hevda lo nivdita. Now, what do you mean, hevda lo nivdita? So first it says v'hevda. Well, that means that there was a pidyon of some sort over here. Well, you might think that means kula, she was completely bought out, and she's now a free woman. No, it says lo niftata. Oh, so you mean she's a shivcha? Lo niftata. Well, no, on the other end it says vehta. So, okay, it's a piduya, they not piduya. So we have to be talking about a case where she is partially bought out. So one of her owners now has freed her. Chetzia shivcha vechetzia bat chorin. And when it says that she is necharefet l'ish, it's got to be to someone who has a right to take both parts of that woman, the free part and the shivcha part, and that could only be an Eved Ivri. Give it Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael says, come on, it's a shivcha kanani, it's muretzet l'Eved Ivri. But what do you mean? What about hevdah lo nivdata? I mean, everybody talks like that. That's standard Hebrew. Hevdah lo nivdata. You know the way they translate the Bible. And she was surely not freed, or 100% not freed. So you're right, it's certainly a little bit overly romantic, but Dibra Torah Shekel Sham B'nei Adam. We're not medactic, those type of a shout-out, but the Torah will throw in a poetic additional word, even though it's not necessary for the understanding. So this is Rebbe Shmuel Shita all over, of course.
But she's not free at all.
She's not free at all. Hevdalo Niftata means 100% unfreed. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah gives us this whole thing. Kol arayot mefurashot lanu, all of the arayot is said, ein lanu shiur ela hashivcha knanis hazot, chetzi shivcha v'chetzi bat chorin, mureset le'eved ivri. Acherim omrim, others say, lo yumtu, look at the rest of the pasuk, which we ignored, lo yumtu, they shall not die, ki lo chufasha, because she was not free. Now that kilo chufasha tells you that she must have been a Knanit. She wasn't freed at all. And therefore, when it says necharevet laish, it's got to mean an evet Knanit. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, we understand, is not concerned with the hevdalo nivdata. Why? Because he says, Dibra Torah, like a shalmenei adam, kiriktani. Dibra Torah, like a shalmenei adam. But, I mean, where does he come up with the idea that she's mureset levet ivri? You see, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Akiva, of course she has to be Mureset L'Eved Ivri, because the whole point of saying that she's a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Bat Knani, means that we're talking about a guy who can marry that type of woman. And that could only be an Eved Ivri, who's allowed to have a wife who is a free woman, and allowed to have a wife who's a Shivcha. So if he's got a wife who's both a free woman and a Shivcha, fine, and Matot. So there's no problem in that. But once Rabbi Yishmael says we're talking about a case of a complete shivcha, The Torah never defines who the Ish is. That's what happened to Ish. Why not just say that? It's more reasonable to say that if there's no Kedushin in her, why would it be referring to an Eved, to an Eved Ivri? I mean, why wouldn't it be referring over here even to a Kanani then? So how do we know Eved Ivri we know? Dichtiv, ki lo chufasha. Note that it says she was not free, mashma, that he was. Bechlal de hu chufash, so to speak, he is in a state of chofesh. And that would only be the case of the Eved Ivri.
Could
sleep with him? No, of course not. She's a free woman. How could she sleep with an Eved man?
She's half free.
You mean in the case of Rabbi Shmuel?
Yes.
The case of Rabbi Shmuel, of course, is much more likely that it's talking about an Eved Kanani, because an Eved Kanani is the same dark as a Shivcha. Yeah,
But half free, no.
That's why we said it would have to be an Eved Ivri. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, she's a mamish a Shivcha. Where does he come up with the idea of being married to an Eved Ivri? She's allowed to sleep with an Eved Kanani. He's even more similar to the Eved Ivri. Basically, who takes a Shivcha Kanani, is not married to her at all. He's just is being used as a stud. We don't really have any relationship with her. Rav Elazar ben Azariah, says the Gemara, who gives us this whole story about we know all the other Arias and so on. I understand. He's just repeating Rabbi Akiva's Shita. What exactly did he add? Correct? Rabbi Akiva said it's got to be a Chatzah Shivcha, Chatzah Daskna. Because it says, Vehefda lo nivdata. So he comes along and says, well, I mean, after all, what else could it be but a Hefda lo nivdata? Thank you very much. He's giving his askamah to Rabbi Akiva. What is he adding? Hi to Rabbi Akiva. No. He's actually responding to Rabbi Shmuel Shita. He's saying like this, Le Rabbi Shmuel Kama. He's saying, I got to tell you, Rabbi Shmuel, the Didi. Normally I would have agreed with you, because my general approach to these extra lishonot is that Dibrat Torah K'lashon B'nei Adam, just as you say. The reason that I disagree with you in this particular case, V'achashayni, Mirte, Kaziv Leikra Ki Lo Chufasha, it says that she's not free. Then why does it need to say Ve'avdal Lo Nivdata at all? You can't tell me that it also said an extra pasuk, which is Dibra Torah K'lashon B'nei Adam. So therefore, in this case, Shema Minam, Ahachi Adam, it's coming to add a special case of a Chetzia Bat Shivka, a Chetzia Bat Chori. Well, what about the Acherim? You can explain away the Avdal Lo Nivdata. You could say Dibra Torah K'lashon B'nei Adam. But where do they get the idea that it's an Eved Kanani? Since it says before Vehavdalo Nivdata, which means she is not free, why does it have to repeat she's not free? Kilo Chufasha. Since it can't be referring to her, because it's already been told to us, it's got to mean there is no Chofesh in this relationship at all, a reference even to the male. Further differences in the Shivcha Harufa from any other case are, and of course the obvious problem over here is, as the Tosus HaRosh asks, if there's further differences, they should have been included in the first listing of the differences and not be interrupted with, and by the way, what is a Shivcha Harufa? Well, we started off with Ma'ben Shivcha Leben Kol Arayot. Then we start talking about, and now as to what a Shivcha is, then we go back to saying other things. Very strange construction of a Mishnah. Kol arayot echad gadol v'echad katan. In all the other arayot, if one is a gadol, a meaning of age, and one is a minor, so then the katan is potter, which seems to be saying, but here the katan is chayev, which the Gemara will say, what? How would the katan be chayev? And actually it turns out saying, no, over here even the gadol would be potter, is what the Mishnah means. Echad erev echad yashen. One of the partners is awake and one is sleeping. Yashen is patur. Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid. So then the shogeg would be bechatat and the mezid is beikareg. Masha'in ken mashivcha harufa, where the male and the female are linked. So what are you saying, says the Gemara? Ochachayev katan? You're saying all the other arayot, the katan is patur. And what? And here the katan is chayav? Ravina, no. It's saying, okay, katani, kol arayot echad gadol ve'echad katan. The katan is patur, but the gadol is chayav. Mashenken, in the case of Shifcha Harufa, even the gadol nami patur. Why my timer? Domekashya nahadadi. Because we already saw that the Torah compares the Bikoreti yet to her to the case of him. And therefore it means that the two are linked. Only if you could carry out an onesh on one is there an onesh on the other. And what about the next case in the Mishnah? Kolach arayot, if one is awake and one is sleeping, the sleeping one is potter. What are you saying? And Khan miyashen is also chayim, says Rabbi Yonamarad. No. What it means, of course, is the opposite. That normally kolach arayot, if achad niyar ve'achad yashen, the yashen is patur, but the one who is awake is chayav. Mashen can over here, even the one who is awake is patur, because the other one is patur, and my time at the mekash nadar, because they are compared to each other. Now, there was a brisa, which was a very strange brisa, in which a Tana said to Rav Sheshes, I learned the following brisa. Remember that the Tanaim were basically recorders, right? So they would often go over, okay, you press a button, you get a list of various brises, and they would say over these brises to the Rosh Hashiva and so on, and he would analyze them, delete the ones that didn't make any sense. And so he would say, Tana was saying over a brisa, which certainly on the surface did not make any sense. And this is what the brisa said. Asu gomer ki ma'ara, they made the case of one who completed his intercourse as one who was ma'ara. We said already that machlok is what that is. They made someone who was a mitkaven to be the same as someone who was not mitkaven. They said that someone who was sleeping with her kidarka is the same as someone who was sleeping with her shalo kidarka, so that this was now a case of an anal intercourse. And that would be the same kidarka shalo kidarka. And they made it the same whether you are sleeping or awake. So his response to him, to the Tana, was, what the heck are you talking about? What is the case? First of all, I don't know who he is and who she is. Micah, can you tell me what the case is? You're talking about a Shifcha Harufa. I mean, I assume, because that's the only place where these issues come up. I mean, if you're talking about a Shifcha Harufa, so what are you talking about? They made a Gomer, a Mara, on the contrary. The Gomer is Chayev, the Mara is not Chayev. So something's backwards over here. Two, then you said, Mitkaven kishe'eno mitkaven. Understand. If he was Mitkaven, then there's a Chayev. If not, then there is no Chayev. The case of Mitkaven is not Shogeg and Mezeg. The case of Mitkaven is that he had Kavana to do the act that he's doing. Now you say, how the heck could he have not had Kavanah to do the act that he's doing? So the only case that we come up with is the standard case that we have in Yevamot. A guy is sitting on the porch having fun with his wife and falls off the edge of the porch onto another woman who is unfortunately the victim of his current physical status that allows him to penetrate her. But otherwise, we've got a very strange situation over here. So over there, he had no kavanah. He's basically falling off a roof. The last thing he's thinking about is an act of rape. This poor woman is simply walking along the street, minding her own business. Right? And this is the famous case. In those days, they didn't wear underclothes. Actually, what happened was she heard the shout, lifted up her skirt to catch the guy.
Ah, and he just happened to slip.
That's right. In any event, whatever the case is, that's the case of the Enum Bechavin. And now the question is, so why is he potter by the Shivcha Chalufa? Rashi says, because Shichvat Zara implies that the Bia has to be intentional. And that otherwise it's not called Ru'uya La'azriya. The Ru'uya La'azriya means to cause a pregnancy. To which Tosis responds, whoever told Rashi that? I mean, where's he getting his medical information? So therefore, Tosfos says, the point over here is, that this is the equivalent of an ones. A guy who falls off of a roof, and this point is not a shogeg. He simply is basically under duress, so to speak, And an onus is definitely part of it. It's only chiyuv of shogeg and mazid by the shivka haruf and not of an onus. So therefore, the case of mechavein would be chayav, and lo mechavein is potter. So how could you say that the Torah made them the same? And then you said, kedarka is the same as shalom kedarka. That's not true. Only kedarka is chayav by a shivka harufa. Shalom kedarka is not chayav, which is different than all the other arayot. All the other arayot, we learn out mishkevei isha, means there are two ways of having intercourse with a woman. But by shivka harufa, it stresses shichvat zara. It has to be part of normal reproductive intercourse. And therefore, a shalom kedarka would be potter. So how can you say it makes the same whether it's kedarka or shalom kedarka? And then you say, what, the ne'ur ki yashin? What's the ne'ur ki yashin? If we're talking about the other arayot, so then it for sure doesn't make sense. I mean, because what? Also, gomer kemara. The opposite is true. By the other arayot, Yitzchak should have said, Yitzchak by the Lamisne, it makes the mara kegomer, that we learn out that other arayot are chayav, even for a non-consummated intercourse. So Yitzchak by the Lamisne. Omar lay, so the Tana asked him, okay, Ismaya, do I press the delete button? Omar lay, look, no, don't delete it, but learn what you're talking about. The meaning of your braita has to be construed as this, that by a shivcha harufa, it is true that a gomer is the equivalent of a mara. But the reader is forced, the listener is forced to analyze the statement and come up with the following, that a gomer shalo kedarka, a gomer shalo kedarka is in a shivcha harufa potter, and therefore the gomer is the same as the mara, meaning someone who sleeps with her shalo kedarka and does consummate the intercourse is potter as if he would have been a mara with a normal intercourse. So the Tan is trying to put two dinim into one by constructing a puzzling construct, forcing you into understanding what it means. Why is that true? Because it says shichvat zara, and shichvat zara excludes anal intercourse in the same way that it excludes only a partial penetration. Furthermore, also mitkavein, meaning you meant to be sleeping with a shaloka darka, with a shifra, where you're potter, is the same as an anal mitkavein, even if it had been kedarka. Again, why? Shichvat zarak tiv. And this, of course, is Rashi's mocker for learning that the anal mitkavein is a problem of shaloka darka, of the same problem as shaloka darka, but it's not roi for shichvat zarak. Is that, in other words, a guy who's falling off a roof is not going to be in a position of being gomer biyoso in a normal way. Neur shalokadarka b'shivcha dipturim kiyoshin. Furthermore, the next piece is meant to be understood, that someone who is awake and aware of an intercourse of the shalokadarka, which is potter, is the equivalent of being asleep. My time is shivchat zaraktiv. Nimtza, the bottom line, therefore, is to be derived in your own mind that a mitkavein and a mahara in a shivcha is the equivalent of an eno mitkavein by all other arayot. A yoshen kidarka is the equivalent of a yoshen by all the other arayot. And therefore, nimtza ne'ur shalo kidarka, the shivcha, is the equivalent of a yoshen of kola arayot. And as Tosis points out, all of this seems to be an awful lot of extra babbling, which is unnecessary to explain the brisa. Who cares what the nimsa is? And the Rush, who's brought over here in the Shita, explains that it's important for us to point out which one of these things is different than the other arayot and which one is the same. That's what we're trying to say. So the case of the yoshen is the same as yoshen b'kola arayot. So we don't want you to confuse that as being unique to shivcha harufa. Hadron alach arba arma fusrei kapara. Don't worry, we'll finish soon. Omo lo achal tachelet. Somebody says to a guy, We saw you eating chalev. Now, it's not clear here what his response is. Maybe chatat. He has to bring a carbon chatas. Suppose two people come along, and eight akad omer acha, and eight omer lo acha, or you have even isha, not in terms of testimony, but just information. Isha omeret acha, isha omeret lo acha. So then in these cases, he has a contradiction in his information. He doesn't know what happened. He brings an asham talui. Suppose Ada Omer Akal, and he says Lo Akalti. So then he's Patur. But if Shnayim Omrim Akal Vu Omar Lo Akalti, then what? Says Rabbi Meir. I mean, well, of course, then he would be Chayav. I mean, look, I'm Rabbi Meir. If two witnesses would have made him Chayav Mitad Beit Din, saying, maybe you Shnayim Lidei Mitad, which is Hamura, Lo Yaviyo Lidei Korban Akal. I mean, and of course, they should make him Chayav a Korban. Omer Lo Yitzadeh Chachomim, no, that's not true at all. Because he could always say, you know what, you're absolutely right, I ate chalev, exactly what I wanted to do, so go stuff it. Now, if he was bemazed, of course, they can't be Machayev and Makarvan. And they can't testify as to his state of mind and what he was doing. They can only say what he was doing. So if he had wanted to say mazed hayiti, he would have been potter. So if he's saying it never happened, basically, now there's two ways of understanding this. Basically, he has the migo. Since he could have said Mezid Ayiti, he would have been Potter. And therefore that Migo forces us to believe him when he says it never happened. But Tostosis points out, you don't say Migo B'mokam Eidim. Over here, you're contradicting the Eidim. And therefore Tostosis explains that the meaning is it's the equivalent when he says it never happened. He just not, doesn't want to say it never happened the way you're saying, but what actually did happen was that I did what I wanted to do because I couldn't resist. So we translate the words so that they're not a contradiction to the Eidim. They're just basically potter him from the carbon. How can
there be an aid that you didn't eat?
An aid that he didn't
eat? Can there be a witness to say he didn't eat?
There isn't a witness that he didn't eat. The witness says he did eat. He says he didn't eat. Oh, they describe the case there is understood to mean that there were two pieces. We're going to go through all this in the Gemara. But there were two pieces. One piece is chalev, and one piece is kosher fat, shuma. Right? So the one witness says he ate the piece on the right, which was chalev. And the other one says, no, he ate the piece on the left, which was shuman. So therefore, one is saying akal, and one is saying lo akal. Yeah, lo akal chalev.
This is all
the Oscar Mayer versus the higher authority. So we translate it to mean you eat. I didn't eat b'mezid, I ate b'shogim. Let's wait for the Gemara and all of this. Yeah. If he eats without being informed in between of his akhila, so he eats over the course of a day twice. He has his Oscar Mayer hot dog over there. So he's only chayav once a korban because it's be'alem achas. Ochal, Echelev, Vidam, Pigal, Vinaiser. He eats all these various different Isurim, even though he had never been informed between one Achil and the other. Chayav al kol achat, v'achat. Again, this continues our idea of Chaluka, which was so central in the Masechta from the beginning. You'd be Chayav on each one individually. And Zechomer b'minim arbe mimin echad, which is a greater Chumrah, of course, when you do two separate Isurim, than had you did one. Yes, sir. But there is also a chomer b'min echad mimin emabe. There's a sense in which two separate achilot of one thing, one iser, is more chomer than two achilot of two things, namely, shimachal kechatzi zayit v'chazar v'chal kechatzi zayit be'elem echad. If it's mimin echad, it would be chay. But if it would be mishnei minim, it would be potter. So in terms of the tziruv, if he eats less than the shiur, less than the amount of a gezayit, then it would not be able to be betzur with another less than achila of a gezayit, if one is pigol and one is notar, let's say. But if one would have been chalev and the other would have been chalev, then under certain circumstances, they would have been mitzurah to be a single achila of a gezayit. Again, to be explained in the Gemara.
In the morning and
no, we'll see that. We'll discuss what the shear is. Gentlemen, it's been a great pleasure again. I hope that you're enjoying this Masechta at least as much as I am. There's no limits to it, like my mother always says. It's a besser as nishtokin granites. There's no boundaries on better, but you say at least as good as me.